Hello, I'm Amanda McNulty with Clemson Extension and Making It Grow. This is Making It Grow Extra. My guest today is Paul Thompson, the Extension Agent in York County. Paul, thank you so much for coming and bringing your very melodious voice with you.
Well, thank you for asking me there, Amanda.
We've been talking about vines. You like to hike in the woods, so I guess you are often... I always look at the ground because I can't see birds, but if you're hiking in the woods and you want to see vines... You need to crane your neck occasionally, don't you?
Well, that, or sometimes you'd be surprised. You could just be looking down on the ground, and there's that fallen flower from some familiar vine that has expired and fallen down. I've found coral honeysuckle that way, you know, walking around down a trail and seeing the red flowers on the ground.
Because the natural instinct of vines in a woodland would be to kind of go upward.
They're searching for sunlight, mm-hmm. and that's so they can go into their reproductive phase, which both needs height and sunlight. And it's too shady down on the forest floor, so they take advantage of the tree trunks. And a lot of times, you know, you see the bottom of the vine and you never see any flowers mm-hmm. unless you can see the top of the tree.
But a good reason to occasionally stop and scan the skyline, isn't it?
And people see this all the time. I mean, in the springtime, you're driving down towards Charleston or something, you see all the our South Carolina state flower, native Carolina yellow jessamine. And I just always remembered that drive from Columbia to Charleston in the February-March time frame, and you see...
Every tree on the roadside.
We used to get people to call the office and say, what is that yellow flowering tree I'm seeing everywhere?
Yeah, but it wasn't the tree that was in flower.
No, and we're seeing it because of the, you know, all the leaves being gone on the tree. And so everything's kind of sparse, and those bright yellow flowers are hard to miss in the spring.
And some people say jasmine, and of course we really should go by scientific names, and it's just Simian sempervirens, I believe. But I say yellow jessamine. And I always encourage people to say that.
Well, that is the appropriate common name, but common names are common names.
Yes, they are.
Many plants have more than one. But I think the horticulturist or the botanist want to clarify between that and a true jasmine. So
yes.
There's a whole different genus of plants called jasminums.
And some of those are vines, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so it's a way of... not confusing the two.
Well, yellow jessamine has kind of a bad rap in that we were talking about the Japanese honeysuckle that's invasive, but how much fun it is to pull it apart and get that little bead of nectar out of the base. And yellow jessamine, they say, be careful that your children know not to suck on the yellow jessamine vines, mm-hmm. flowers.
Well, they have some alkaloid or something that's... can be detrimental to people that consume it. I don't remember what it is, something like a young child, maybe if they were to eat four flowers, eight flowers, something like that. I don't know. I grew up three kids. I never had kids running around eating flowers.
Mine just came in and got a cookie.
You know, we told them about the honeysuckle, but it wasn't a natural
vine. But it's a beautiful vine. It really is. And it's evergreen, which is pretty, too.
Right. And it's such a nice welcome to the spring. We have our yellow daffodils. We have our native yellow jessamine. Just kind of a spring thing, you know.
And I've heard that it is not a good flower for the imported European honeybees to visit because the compounds that can cause some toxicity can problems with humans
can also impact them
because they didn't evolve here, and
right.
So the other bees can go there all they want to, but you wouldn't want to take your beehive and put it in the middle of a yellow jessamine forest.
Yeah.
Apparently
it's also another one of those vines that climbs by twining, so you have to provide a somewhat small diameter
structure
uh-huh. Where you've got either a wire or some method of it being able to twine or wrap itself around things.
I've seen it. There's a place that I go by on the way back and forth to Columbia that's a chain link fence, and the yellow jessamine grows up to the top and then cascades over.
Right.
And so you need to give it something that's not so terribly high, because it really, if you want to have that big, dramatic display of flowers. It needs to kind of cascade down. The parts where it's climbing up, it's not going to bother about putting flowers there. It needs to get up and over, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. It's going to be up there at the growing points. And that is one, you know, the one of the, if I had one complaint about Carolina yellow jasmine, is the fact that it kind of, the whole vine seems to get bare at the bottom.
Yeah,
and,
it doesn't really cover.
Top.
Yeah.
I have solved that problem where I had it on a trellis, is that I planted one of the hybrid clematis.
Oh, underneath.
So it kind of coexists, and it fills in a little bit in the springtime down low with some flowers, and those two vines just share the same trellis.
Huh. Well, and we do have some native clematis in South Carolina.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
The Virgin's Bower is a spring-blooming, very small, white-flowered species. I'm really not familiar with all the native
I've got clematis. A beautiful little sweet tiny purple one that's called Leatherleaf for some funky reason. And then, unfortunately, we have one that looks kind of like Virgin's Bower that in the fall is an invasive one and can
the
just...
The Sweet Autumn.
Yeah, oh,
is.
Lord.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
But it is a nice fragrance.
It's pretty,
smell.
But
it's,
boy,
it's
if
pretty,
you get it in your yard, you got it. So I would
and
discourage...
And there's also kind of an unusual plant. There's a climbing aster that often you confuse that Sweet Autumn
mm-hmm.
clematis with.
Yep.
They'll look similar from a distance.
And then I am very fond of smilax because I like to decorate with it at Christmas. There's now some of them are way too prickly to even think about decorating
right.
with.
Right, and don't really have any nice ornamental
no.
attributes to them. All of them are edible, however.
I like to go out and collect
and
them in the spring.
I've eaten them a few times over the
and
years.
And that's that shoot that's coming up looking for something to hold on to because it's got to climb around something, doesn't it? Twine
right.
around.
Right. It sends up new sprouts every year. Or
has
just
tendrils.
New,
tendrils, doesn't it?
Just new growth off of the existing upper part.
Mm-hmm.
And when they first pop out in the spring and you can actually
snap
them. Grab them and snap them, just like you check asparagus.
That's right.
You know, when you buy asparagus, you can just snap the stem. Mm-hmm. You know what snapped off is tender.
And below that
left,
is too
yeah,
tough.
Where,
yeah,
what you left is got too stringy. And this is the same way. If you snap it right off, it's very tender and edible. You can eat the tendrils. You can eat the the little, maybe tiny little leaves that might have already started to form on it. And they're all tender. And
a plate full of it, if you get it after it's started getting the tendrils on it, it's almost like eating a plate full of eels.
Yeah, it does look a little different.
Visually, it's a little bit daunting, isn't
but
it?
But they are in the Liliaceae family, and they're actually you know, related to asparagus, and so you know, often referred to as poor man's asparagus. So,
But beautiful to collect the lovely ones and wrap it around your porch. I've got an old-fashioned porch, so we'll wrap it around the banisters.
Mm-hmm.
And we've used it for weddings. And it used to be used for weddings a lot. It's just a beautiful...
it's still used somewhat in florist arrangements
true.
When
yeah.
they find sources. There's several... there's at least two species that are native... where the vine itself is virtually thornless.
Which is what you have to have
and,
to use decoratively.
The foliage is very lustrous.
Yes,
and
beautiful
and
green.
Very dark
yeah,
green.
Yeah. And then they're male and female, and so the female one gets berries. And if you let them go to seed, then the area underneath them is going to be completely covered with hundreds of little smilax berries. And you have, when that happens, fortunately, at my house, it's usually under pine trees, and there's pine straw there, and I can use an approved herbicide because I cannot pull them. But if you let them get big and you need to get rid of it, you have a little bit of a task because what will you find under the ground sometimes?
Well, they make some, it's just like a tuberous, very woody storage structure
yes.
under the ground. And it can be branched almost like a ginger root
I
or
know.
Something like that.
And can be bigger than a baseball easily. I mean, a basketball.
Or think of a real thick, woody iris rye.
Yeah,
kind
but
of
I mean
kind of
big winter. Sometimes. Yeah. And but anyway, that's just part of the interesting part of it. And
yeah,
I guess
I've actually seen it used as an ornamental vine. It's a beautiful, beautiful evergreen.
Yeah.
Glossy, dark
no
green
No pest whatsoever.
Yeah.
It's just if you get it in the wrong place and let it sit there for a long time and you try to dig up that underground tumor, you're going to have your daily workout, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I just think native vines need to be used more. And Partially because they usually have some connection with wildlife. And isn't that nice to think that you're getting something beautiful to look at, and it's probably providing food or shelter or someplace to nest.
They also maybe fit some of those little spots in the landscape where you don't have the room for something else.
That's true.
You know, a vine is going to conform to whatever you give it to climb on. So you can grow things in narrow spaces and
have some color and beauty. Yep. Thank you so much for coming and talking about vines with me.
It's been a pleasure.